We'll commence our season of worship this morning by singing together the hymn number 1 in your hymn book, the hymn number 1 on the page 175. Immortal, invisible, God only wise, and light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, thy great name we praise. The hymn number 1 on the page 175, standing as we sing, and let us all sing it out with all of our hearts. Just look to the Lord today for his help and blessing upon our season of worship. Let us all pray. Our gracious God, our loving, eternal Father in heaven, we draw nigh, O God, before thee the Sabbath morning to worship thee. We come, O God, in no merit of our own. We do confess our own unworthiness in and of ourselves, O God. In and of ourselves there dwelleth no good thing. Yet, O God, we thank thee today for the scepter of thy grace that is held out toward us, the sinful sons of Adam's race. And, Father, we thank that that grace has been manifest unto us through thy dear Son, thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came into this world as God manifest in the flesh. We thank thee for his spotless life, his perfect life. We thank thee, Father in heaven, that he came willingly to do the Father's will, And Father, we thank Thee that He laid down His life a ransom for many upon the cross. And Father, we thank Thee that upon that cross He died for our sins, and He died for our iniquities and for our transgressions. We realize, O God, that His death was a substitutionary death, and that He shed His precious blood and poured out His life unto death, and died the just for us the unjust, that He might bring us to God. And Father, we thank that it is because of Christ and Him alone and His finished work upon the cross and the shedding of His precious blood that we gather, Lord, before Thee this day, the Sabbath morning, to praise Thee and to worship Thee, the eternal God of heaven. And Father, we pray, O God, today that Thou would just bless our coming together here in the house of God. We thank Thee, Father, for the Lord's Day, the blessing of public worship, and the privilege we have, O God, of gathering together with Thy people of like precious faith around the Word of God. And Father, we thank Thee for that great promise of Christ when He said, "Where two or three are gathered together in My name, there am I in the midst." And Lord, we do pray, O God, today that Thou wilt draw near, that Thou would fill this house with the glory, the presence, the power of God, that we might each one know and hear the speaking voice of God to our hearts, saying, "This is the way, walk ye therein." And may we go home blessed and revived and quickened as the people of God, and drawing closer, Lord, to Thee. We thank Thee for our Sunday school this morning. Bless the ministry of our teachers to the boys and girls. Bless them in this work. Give them great help in this work. Give them great encouragement in this ministry, we pray. And Father, we pray that in this ministry and through this ministry, many children will be saved, led on with God, and blessed in the ways of God, we pray. And Father, we thank Thee for all who have been able to come to Your house today. And Lord, as our faces differ, so do our needs. But Lord, we're looking to Thee today to come by Thy Spirit and meet us each one at the very point of our need. Bless every Christian in this meeting. Bless Your people. Strengthen them in their walk with God. Draw us closer, Lord, to Thee. Grant us to know that touch that comes from the Lord. May we be strengthened with might by Thy Spirit, O God, in the inner man. Conform more to the image of Christ. Help us to die more and more to self and to sin and to the ways of this ungodly world. And help us to live to the praise of the glory of Thy grace that is in Christ Jesus. For any, Lord, who may be cold at heart today, Lord, give that restoring grace others come through times of testing and trial, O God. Help them to cast every care upon the Lord. We thank that Thy grace is sufficient for our every need. And Lord, for any with us today not saved, we pray that Thou wilt speak to them and that Thou wilt save them by the grace and by the power of God divine. We thank Thee, Lord, that the promise of Thy word is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Remember others today who mourn and grieve, have suffered loss in recent times. Do comfort their hearts, we pray. Fill the vacant chair with the presence of the Lord. And may they know Thy nearness and Thy grace at this time, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that are unable to join with us today because of age and sickness and infirmity. And Lord, touch them, lay Your healing hand upon them. Those that need to be raised up, we pray. And Lord, those no longer able to come to Your house, Lord, who once were faithful in their attendance at Thy house, Lord, bless them especially and minister to them by the grace and power of God. And those that have recently went through surgery as well, Lord, may they know that touch, that healing balm that comes from the Lord. And may they know that promise, "I am the Lord that healeth thee," we pray. And for others who cannot be with us because of other works of necessity and mercy, draw near to them today also and bless them with Thy grace and with Thy favor, Lord, and with Thy strength, we pray. For those, Lord, who would listen in online today, whoever they are, wherever they might be found, have a word in season for them and minister to their needs, O God, we ask. Father, do bless every outreach from our congregation here. We thank Thee, Lord, for this open door. Remember the children's work, the youth work, the online ministry, the outreach ministry, and Lord, the open-air work as well in the ladies' fellowship meeting. May Thy hand of blessing be upon these and the regular meetings week by week. We pray that the presence and the blessing of the Lord will be known in the midst, and that hearts and souls will be blessed, and thy kingdom will be extended in this part of thy vineyard, we pray. Remember our land today for good, we ask. Bless all our sister congregations. Remember every minister, every student, every layman alike who would preach thy word. May the blessing of God be upon them, we pray. Wherever the word of God is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that thou wilt bless it, that thou wilt use it, O God, and that many today would be the slain of the Lord and be saved and brought into the family and fold of God. We pray, O God, for our missionaries today, that you would bless them and minister to them, those that labor at home and those that labor abroad. Be with them and encourage them. Give them health and strength, we pray. Give them tokens for good in their ministry. And even, Lord, those that are far from home at this time, bless them and minister to them by the grace of God. We pray for our land and for our nation, Lord, that those that rule over our land might rule in righteousness in accordance to thy word, that there might be a turning away from sin and the false ideals and goals of men, that there might be a turning to thee and to thy word and to thy truth. Remember our royal family, have mercy upon them. Lord, save our king and the royal family, save them from sin, we pray. And Lord, may the light of the gospel shine into that household. May they be guided by the light of thy word and the light of thy truth, O God, we ask. Father, we thank thee that thou art upon the throne today and thou hast promised to remember thine own. And Lord, grant us a visitation from thyself, O God, today. Do us good. And everything that will be said and done, even in this pulpit today, glorify the Savior, uplift his name, and draw hearts and souls out after him, whom to know is life eternal. For we do pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We'll turn again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 110. In your hymn book, the hymn number 110, O love divine, what hast thou done? The immortal God have died for me. The Father's co-eternal Son bore all my sins upon the tree. The hymn number 110 will stand as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Turning this morning, please, in God's Word to Psalm 90 for our Bible reading. First of all, reading from Psalm 90, and then turning back to Genesis chapter number 47 and reading just from verse 27 of that chapter. Should you like to mark those two passages? First of all, reading from Psalm number 90, and then turning back to Genesis chapter 47 and reading from verse 27. Down to the end. Let us hear God's precious word as we read it together this morning. Psalm number 90 and the verse number 1. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world. Even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And then turning back, please, to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis chapter 47, and commencing our reading at the verse number 27. And Israel, that's another title for Jacob and his family. And Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen. And they had possessions therein and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. The time drew nigh that Israel must die. They called his son Joseph and said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt, and bury me in their burying place. And he said, I will do as thou hast said. And he said, Swear unto me, and he sware unto him. And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse number 31. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, want to give everyone a warm word of welcome. In the Savior's name, it's good to see all who have gathered with us here today in God's house. We pray the Lord will bless you. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened, led on with the Lord. And if you know not Christ as Savior, even today, may this day be the start of your journey to heaven by coming to Christ and trusting him as Savior. Welcome those also maybe viewing online. We thank you for joining with us, and we pray the Lord will bless you today and meet you at the point of your need and through his precious word. The announcements for the week are as follows. Immediately after the service this morning is the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. You don't have to be a member of this church, but if you know and love the Lord as your own and personal Savior, then the Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. He says, This do in remembrance of me. And we trust as many as possible to be able to gather around the table of the Lord. Tonight, 6:30, the evening prayer meeting. And we encourage as many as possible to gather for the time of prayer at 6:30. And then the gospel meeting also at 7 p.m. We belong to bring God's word. Pray for that meeting. I plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. And do all you can to invite and encourage others in to hear God's word and truth in the gospel. Also today, being the first Sunday of the month, is building fund offering. Do remember that also, please. Tomorrow night at 8 p.m. here in the church is the monthly ladies' fellowship meeting. The speaker will be our sister, Mrs. Aileen Power. So do remember that. Pray for that meeting. Make it known, ladies, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in as well under the sound of God's word. Tuesday night here in the church at 8 p.m., the midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. I belong to take that meeting. We commend that to as many as possible as well, that you gather with us around God's word, around the throne of grace and prayer. And then on Friday evening, the youth fellowship are traveling up to the Easter Convention meeting there in the Martyrs Memorial. That service is at 8 p.m. And the speaker there on the Friday night for the youth rally is the Reverend Roger Higgison. There'll also be singers as well and various missionary and youth reports as well. So we trust the young people have a blessed evening as they go to that youth rally on Friday night. Also here in the church on Thursday night at 8 p.m. there's a meeting of the church committee. But ask the brethren of committee just to remember that Thursday night here in the church at 8 p.m. Also this coming Friday morning will be the monthly open air gospel witness in the town in the square of Brother Colin and myself. That's this good Friday morning, the 7th of April, 11 a.m. Pray for that. And if you're in the town, do come along and join with us for that half hour around God's word in the open air. Next Lord's Day, the 9th of April, is Easter Sunday. There'll be no Sabbath school. Due to the holidays, the Sabbath school will be off. So boys and girls, you get a rest, but don't forget about church as well. Services will be as normal time, 12 noon in the morning, 7 p.m. In the evening, both services preceded by a half hour of prayer, and we'll be along to bring God's word. Pray for those meetings. Plan to join with us and invite and encourage others in. Do you remember the other Easter Convention meetings up in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast, Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. There's a missionary rally, and the preacher there is the Reverend Philip Gardner from Australia. And again, there'll be various missionary reports there. And then the final meeting of the convention is Monday night at 7 p.m. And the preacher there is the moderator, the Reverend John Armstrong. So pray for those meetings, and if at all possible, do go along and support them over the Easter weekend. Just also one or two other announcements. Our third annual Missionary Sunday here in the church, in Bethel Church, will be on the Lord's Day, the final Lord's Day of April. That's the 30th of April. In the morning at 12 noon, our brother, the Reverend David Brown, will be with us from Larne. He also serves on our church mission board. He'll be bringing God's word and the need of missionaries today, and also an update on our various missionary works across the world. And then at night at 7 p.m., our brother, the Reverend Ray Kerskadden, will be with us, a prospective missionary going out soon in the will of the Lord to Uganda with his wife and family. He'll be speaking about his call and the work there and bringing God's word as well, and there'll be an offering for our brother on that occasion. So do remember that date. That's the final Sunday of this month, the 30th of April. Keep that date free and pray for those meetings and make them known. Friday the 14th of April in our Ballymoney Church, there's a special 50th anniversary service to mark the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry. That service is at 8 p.m. The preacher is the Reverend John Greer, and all are welcome, so do remember that also. Can I just draw your attention also to a little book there that has been compiled and written by a brother, the Reverend David Linden. It's entitled Lewis, The Land of Light and Life. It's really an account of the revivals in the land of Lewis, the island of Lewis, off the west coast of Scotland. We commend that to you. It's good reading, and encourage your soul, dear believer, to pray and to seek the Lord for days of revival and refreshing in the work of God even today. Praise God, God has not changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He said in His word, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. We commend that little booklet to you. It's just priced at £2, and the proceeds from that book go to the work of Let the Bible Speak ministry. Also, Let the Bible Speak magazine is available there as well. We commend that to you, and you'll find good reading there for you. And then just as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. June Scott, husband Jeffrey. June lost an uncle just at the end of the week there, and we assure June and the family of her prayers and her sympathies at this time of loss and bereavement to her and all the family. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to hymn number 430. 430. We don't take up an offering, but do remember the offering plates as you leave. This is a wonderful hymn of testimony. All the way my Savior leads me, What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn, 430. Just look to the Lord and a word of prayer. And before we come to God's word, Genesis chapter 47, and with God's word open before us, let us just pray. Heavenly Father, we do remember, Lord, those who mourn today. Remember June and Jeffrey and that family circle. Give them comfort at this time of loss and bereavement. Remember that immediate family circle especially who have suffered the loss of a loved one. Do speak, we pray, even to ones in that family circle unsaved, and draw them to yourself and give comfort and grace and succor at this time, we pray. Lord, bless us now as we come to thy word. We rejoice that thy word is truth, that thy word is pure, that it is a word that has been proven, a word that is eternal, a word that we can hold onto and hope in and depend upon in every circumstance of life. We thank that thy word is our guide, it is our light. O God, may the light of thy word dwell richly within our hearts today by the Spirit of God, and that by thy Spirit souls would be saved, saints would be blessed, Christ would be honored and glorified. Give help now to this preacher in the preaching of thy word. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with the power of God. Hide man far behind the cross, and exalt and magnify the Savior, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen. Our text today you will find in the opening words of verse number 29 of Genesis chapter number 47. It says, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die. Now, throughout life, people make plans. Parents plan for their children's education. And couples, they plan their wedding day and perhaps the building of a new home, place where they going to live. Families plan their holidays for the summer season or other times of the year. People also plan for their work on a day-to-day basis and then make plans for retirement. Then people also have to plan for their death by having a will made and by making funeral arrangements and so forth. And all these plans are important to us. Well, at the end of Genesis chapter 47, we see Jacob, the father of Joseph, and he himself is preparing for his departure from this scene of time. Now, before Jacob dies, he has three meetings. In Genesis chapter 49, he meets there with all of his sons together. In Genesis chapter 48, he meets with Joseph and his two sons. And here in the final verses of Genesis chapter 47, he meets with Joseph alone. And the very fact here that Jacob meets first of all with Joseph alone to discuss his funeral arrangements, it really shows to us that Joseph was one who was superior to his brothers. Now, this meeting here that Joseph has with his father really to plan what was really Jacob's funeral is a meeting of some very poignant and solemn lessons for us all to think about and to consider in our meeting this morning. There are three things in particular I want you to notice about this meeting. Three things that Joseph himself sees when he goes to meet with Jacob in his final days upon this earth in this scene of time. First of all, we see here how Joseph, he sees a solemn reality. Look at the beginning there of verse 29, our text before us. It says, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." And from these words, we see here that Joseph is confronted with the solemn reality of death, that his father Jacob, or as he's called here Israel, was soon to die. He was soon to leave this world, the scene of time. The Bible shows us that Jacob was a man who had lived a long life. You see that in the previous verse, verse 28, before our text. It says, "And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the whole age of Jacob was 147 years. He lived a long life. And in his long life, no doubt, there was many twists, there was many turns, there was many ups and downs. But nonetheless, Jacob was a man who knew God's blessing upon him. Jacob was a man who experienced the grace of God in his heart and in his soul. And my Jacob's, yes, his last 17 years of his life in Egypt were very comfortable. Because in that time of dearth and famine, he spent those years in Egypt being looked after by his favorite son, Joseph, and in the company, no doubt, of his favorite son, Joseph. And here we see God's goodness to Jacob. You see, before Joseph was sold into slavery, Jacob had the company of Joseph as his son, as his child, for 17 years. And now at the close of his life, he is Joseph's company again in close companionship for another 17 years. We're told there in verse 28, and Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. How wonderfully kind, how wonderfully good was the Lord to Jacob. But despite his long life, and despite God's signal blessing upon him and God's grace, the time had come for Jacob to die. The time had come for Jacob to leave this world. Look at what our text says. It says, "And the time drew nigh that Israel must die." And people, just as Joseph is confronted with the solemn reality that his father Jacob was soon to die, likewise, this is a solemn reality that we all must face. This is a solemn reality that we all must deal with should the coming of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, tarry upon this earth. Yes, every single one of us in this meeting this morning, we're all different. Different in so many ways. Where we live, what we do, and our backgrounds. However, death is a factor that unites us all, and it is a factor that will unite us all should the coming of Christ tarry. The hymn writer rightly says, we are going down the valley one by one with our faces toward the setting of the sun. Yes, today each one of us can thank God for all the advances and medicine and in health care, but still the day of our death is unavoidable. The day of our death is inescapable. The day of our death is unstoppable. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it says, it is appointed unto man once to die. By the time, indeed, the date of our decease, it is fixed in God's calendar, in the calendar of God. It is appointed, the Bible says, unto man once to die. And commenting upon this most solemn of truths, John Gill, the Bible commentator, he said these words. He says, beyond this appointment we cannot live, but before this appointment we cannot die. It is appointed unto man once to die. And that appointment has been set in the calendar of God for each and every one of us. And this was something that Jacob himself understood. He realized this. He realized that he himself, though he had lived a long life, was not here to stay. He was just passing through this life. You turn back to verse 9 there of Genesis chapter 47. Notice this in his conversation here with Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Pharaoh had asked Jacob the question, how old art thou? And look at the answer he gives to Pharaoh in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 47. It says, and Jacob said unto Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage, notice that word pilgrimage, are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. Notice again the mention of that word pilgrimage. And there he describes his life as a pilgrimage. In other words, a journey. He knows that his life on earth is but a journey. It's but a pilgrimage. He was not here to stay. He knew that he was journeying on towards the great eternity of God. And people, can I say this is something we all must realize, whether we're young or old, that you and I in this life, we are not here to stay. In this life, you and I are pilgrims. We are sojourners. We are traveling through this scene of time, and we're traveling on, dear people, towards eternity. The hymn writer asks the question, eternity, eternity, where will you spend eternity? My, the hymn writer knew that he was not here to stay. None of us are here to stay upon this scene of time. We are but pilgrims. We are but sojourners in this life. This was something that Jacob realized. This is something, no doubt, that was impressed upon the heart of his son, Joseph, when he comes now to meet with his father Jacob on his final days. He knew he was a pilgrim, a sojourner, passing through this life, passing through this world, not here to stay. This is something we all need to realize. Young people, boys and girls, older people in the meeting this morning, this world is not our home. We're just pilgrims passing through into eternity. And dear people, we need to recognize, yes, that the death can come very unexpectedly. It can come very suddenly. Yes, one moment you and I can be in the very best of health. And the very next moment, the very next breath, you and I can be gone. Gone from this life. Gone from this scene of time. Gone into eternity. This is something that you and I, we hear about every day as we converse with people at work, as we hear the news and read the papers. Time after time after time, we are confronted with this truth that people can be taken from this world very suddenly, very unexpectedly, as it were, without any thought or preparation. You see, the Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." None of us know what tomorrow may bring to us. Yes, we are not here to stay. Death can come very suddenly, swiftly. It is unstoppable. It is unavoidable. And people, the reason why we all must die, and there's a reason for it. And the reason is because of our sin and man's sin and our sin by nature and practice. You see, we are all guilty of sin. We are all guilty of breaking the law of God. The Bible says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all are sinners by nature, by practice. And what is the penalty of our sin? The penalty of our sin is death. The Word of God says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And our sinful nature is something that every single one of us have inherited from our first parents. Adam and Eve, when they disobeyed God and took the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. Listen to the words of the Apostle Paul as he speaks to us of this very fact in Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 12. He says there, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And my death is part of the awful curse that sin brings upon this world, upon mankind, and upon the masses of humanity." That is why one out of one dies, because of sin. And friend, in our meeting this morning, let me say this, that if you and I, if we die unsaved, if we die without God's salvation, without faith in the redeeming blood and the redeeming sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ as our own and personal Savior, then our soul will be lost in hell forever. Whenever we come to die and leave this scene of time, if we die unsaved, and my, when Christ returns, our body also will rise from the grave, and our bodies also will be cast into hell to suffer eternal punishment for our sins forever and ever and ever. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. There is judgment after this world for the sinner. The man, the woman, the person, whoever they are, young person, who dies unsaved, dies in their sin without the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. The Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. Friend, understand this truth this morning. Realize this, grasp it. Hell, everlasting fire and torments is the awful end of your sin. That is the reality of your sin, the outworking of your sin. No matter who you are in this meeting, if you die unsaved, if you die and leave this world, this scene of time, without God's salvation. Yes, in this meeting we see that Joseph is confronted by a solemn reality that death comes to us all. It is unavoidable, unescapable. But not only does he see here a solemn reality, notice something else in this meeting between Joseph and Jacob. We see here also how Joseph, he sees a triumphant faith. He sees a triumphant faith. And you see that coming out in the latter part of verse 29 and verse 30 of Genesis chapter 47. And here we have Jacob speaking to his son Joseph. And look at what he says to him in the middle of verse 29. He says, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh,
and deal kindly and truly with me. Bury me not, I pray thee, in Egypt, but I will lie with my fathers, and thou shalt carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place." You see here how Jacob requests that Joseph would take care of his burial, his funeral arrangements, and that he would have him buried in the land of Canaan with his fathers. And he specifically requested this, that he'd be buried in the land of Canaan with his fathers and not of Egypt. And such was Jacob's conviction about this matter that he asked Joseph to swear to his dying wish. Look at verse 31 of the chapter. He says, "Swear unto me," and it says of Joseph, and he swear unto him. And you notice there in verse number 29 how Joseph is instructed to put his hand under Joseph's thigh. He says, "If now I have found grace in thy sight, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh." And that was an Old Testament custom. And there's really a sign here that Joseph was bowing to his father's wish and his father's will, and making sure that Jacob would not be buried in Egypt, but that he would be buried in the land of Canaan. And this was the great conviction of Jacob's heart. And Jacob's desire to be buried in Canaan and not to be buried in Egypt, it was just not mere sentimentalism, no. It was the desire that was inspired by Jacob's faith. You remember what Canaan was. Canaan was the land of promise. It was the land promised by God to Jacob, and not only to Jacob, but to his fathers. And if you turn back to Genesis chapter 28 and the verse number 15, you'll see how God here speaks to Jacob about this very promise when he was fleeing from the wrath of his brother Esau. Look at verse 15 of Genesis chapter 28. And God gave him this wonderful promise. He says, "And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again," notice it, "into this land." That's the land of Canaan. "For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of." And now Jacob's request to be buried in Canaan, it was but a witness of his faith. His faith in the Lord's promise that the Lord would give him the land of Canaan. Not only a faith, a witness of his faith in the Lord's promise, but it was also, dear people, a witness of his faith in the Lord for salvation. And people, we know without a shadow of a doubt that Jacob was saved, that he was a saved man, because the Bible tells us that in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, it says that he died in faith. He was saved by God's grace through faith. In grace, God revealed the gospel unto Jacob. And as a result of that, and God's gracious dealings with him, Jacob, he repented of his sins. He put his faith, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And the land of Canaan, the land of promise, it was God's token to Jacob of a far, far greater promise, a far, far richer promise. And that promise was that Jacob himself one day would go to heaven, that he would one day go to glory. Turn in your Bible over to Hebrews chapter number 11, and you'll see this for yourself. Hebrews chapter number 11. And I want you to go down to verse number 16 of the chapter, and here the apostle is speaking to us about Jacob and his fathers having this hope of heaven, this hope of glory. And look at what it says in verse 16 of Hebrews chapter 11 about Jacob and his fathers, that is Abraham and Isaac. It says, "But now," notice it, "they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called," notice it, "their God." The God of heaven was Jacob's God. The God of heaven was Jacob's heavenly father. God is not ashamed to be called their God. And notice the promise. "He hath prepared for them a city." What is that city? The heavenly Jerusalem. The city of heaven. The city of glory. You turn over in your Bible to Revelation chapter number 21, on over to the last book of the Bible. And here you read something of that city of the New Jerusalem that was the hope of Jacob, that was the outcome of his faith in the Lord. And look at what John says in verse 2 of Revelation 21. He says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for husband." What does he say about heaven? Look at verse 4, verse 5 of the chapter. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful." What a prize lay before Jacob as he was coming to die and leave this world. The prize of heaven, the prize of glory. But there is no more pain, no more sickness, no more heartbreak, no more tears, no more trials, no more partings. A place where there's no more sin. Look at verse 27 of Revelation 21. It says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth." Look at verse 3 of chapter 22 of Revelation. "And there shall be no more curse." Heaven is a place where the curse of sin and all that is entailed in that curse is removed and gone forever. And my, this was Jacob's hope. My, this was the triumph of Jacob's faith. In his final days, he was leaning on the promises of God. And he was looking forward to heaven, to that heavenly city, to that new Jerusalem, to that place where he would see the Lord in all his glory and all his majesty, and be with him and be like him forevermore. And likewise, dear child of God, in the meeting house this morning, let me say this, that this triumph of faith, it means, dear believer, that you too can lean, even as Jacob leaned, upon the promises of God. Not only can you lean upon the promises of God, dear believer, you can look forward to heaven, to glory, even as you sit in this meeting house today. Believer, what a promise the Lord has given to you and his people. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake." And that verse can be translated, "I will never, never leave thee or cast thee off." And what did David say in his hour of need? He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Well, David knew even as he went down into the valley of the shadow of death that the Lord would be with him. The Lord would not fail him or cast him off. And that's how it was with Jacob. That's how it is with every believer, every child of God. Nothing can separate the believer from Christ, not even death itself. That is why, dear believer, you can look forward to heaven and to glory. Turning your Bible over to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. And here were Christians about to go through a great time of trial. A severe, fiery trial was to come upon them. And Peter, no doubt, knew this. He was writing under the inspiration of God, the Holy Spirit. And he commences his letter to them by encouraging them and reminding them of the great hope of heaven, the great hope of glory, the certainty that lay before them as Christians. And look at what he says to them in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. And I encourage you, Christian, mark these verses in your Bible. It says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy, have begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." He was encouraging and assuring these believers that heaven was their prize. Nothing could rob them of that prize. And that they were kept, he says, by the power of God. True faith unto salvation. Believer in this meeting today, you too are kept. Kept by the power of God because you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ. As Jacob was redeemed in the Old Testament by the blood of Christ. He looked forward in faith to Christ coming and dying for him upon the cross. Believer, you and I, we look back in faith to Christ's substitutionary death upon that cross. Because of that precious blood that has been shed for us on the cross, believer, you're saved and you are kept by the power of God unto salvation. And dear unsaved friend, let me say this, that if you are to have the triumph of Jacob, that Jacob had in death, you too can have that triumph. If you'll come now in time to Christ, put your faith and trust in Christ and accept Him by faith as your own and personal Savior. The Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Yes, Joseph saw a solemn reality. He saw a triumphant faith. One final thing in this meeting with Joseph and his father. You'll see also here from our text and from the passage before us in Genesis 47 that Joseph, he saw a humble recognition of God in this whole matter. Look at the very last words there of Genesis chapter 47. Look at the latter half of verse number 31. It says of Jacob, "And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." As Jacob's earthly life comes to an end, there is a humble recognition of God. That's all bound up there in those words at the end of that chapter. It says, "And Israel bowed himself upon the bed's head." These words speak, yes, of Jacob bowing to the will of God for his life. They speak also of thanksgiving to the Lord for His goodness and His mercy. And they also speak of worship, the worship of the Lord. For what does the Bible tell us about Jacob? In Hebrews 11, verse 21, it says this, "By faith Jacob, when he was a dying, worshipped." He died a worshipping man, a man worshipping the Lord, bowed to the will of God, thanking the Lord for His goodness and His mercy toward him. And what a way to end his days. Yielded to God, thanking the Lord, worshipping the Lord, dying in the light of God's so great salvation. You know, the unbeliever always dies in darkness, but never the believer. The believer always dies in the light of God, the light of God's salvation. The final words of Augustus Toplady, that great hymn writer who wrote that hymn, "Rock of Ages, cleft for me." The final words that he uttered to those around his deathbed was this, "Light, light, light," looking forward to heaven, to the glorious light of heaven, and to the glorious light of glory. Oh, people of God, can I say, this testimony here of Jacob is recorded in Scriptures as an example for you and I to follow in life. Yes, this account here of Jacob's deathbed is recorded in the Scriptures for this very purpose in your life and my life as a believer. Oh, let us learn from it as the people of God. Believer in life, yes, you and I, we are to yield to God's will for every circumstance of life, every decision of life. The Bible says, "Yield yourselves unto God." The hymn writer says, "Thy sweet beloved will of God, my anchor ground, my fortress held, my spirit's silent fair abode, in Thee I hide me and am still." We're not to fight with God, we're to yield to God. Yield to His will, His decisions, His circumstances in every part of life. Also in this life as believers, our hearts and lives are to be filled with thanksgiving to the Lord. This is how it was with Jacob at the end of his days. And our hearts, our lives are to be filled with thanksgiving to the Lord for the Lord's goodness and the Lord's mercies to us. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits toward me." It has been said that thanksgiving is the flower in the Christian's life. And then as believers also, our lives are to be marked by the worship of the Lord. Jacob died worshiping the Lord. And our lives is to be marked by the worship of God. The Bible says, "The Father seeketh such to to worship Him. That's a mystery, dear people of God. The Lord of glory, He desires our worship. He longs for our worship. The Bible says God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. We're to worship God with our hearts. It's to be a heartfelt worship. It's to be in accordance with God's word, God's truth. And child of God, daily you and I, yes, we can worship the Lord by having a quiet time in our lives when we pray, read God's word, fellowship with the Lord and praise His name. And then also we can worship the Lord as Christians by keeping the Christian Sabbath. That means us meeting together with God's people in God's house for public worship. Something we're not to neglect. Something we're not to forsake. The fourth commandment says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Turn in your Bible over there to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And the verse number 25, and it's about the matter especially of public worship and the life of God's people, the life of the church of Christ. And look at verse 25 of Hebrews chapter 10. It says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. We're to worship the Lord. And people, when we have got health, when we've got strength, when we've got freedom and liberty, let us be faithful in our attendance at God's house in the place of public worship, Lord's Day morning, Lord's Day evening. Yes, Jacob, he ended his days here in Genesis chapter 47. He ended his days yielded to the Lord. He ended his days thanking the Lord. He ended his days worshiping the Lord. Child of God, by God's grace, may this be our testimony also. May we live to praise God, to thank Him, to worship Him, and be yielded to Him day by day in our lives until Christ comes or calls us home to glory. We'll close, please, in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us here today in Thy house around Thy word. Lord, write these lessons upon our hearts, upon our souls. And Lord, for any in our gathering today not prepared to die, not prepared for eternity, young or old, speak to them today. May not go out of the meeting without the Lord, with no hope for eternity. But oh, may they close in with Christ today and trust Him. And have that glorious hope within their heart and within their soul for time and all of eternity. Help us, Lord, as Your people to be yielded to Thee, to have hearts that are full of thanksgiving to the Lord. Help us to worship Thee and to proclaim Thy name before this ungodly world. Bless us now around the table of the Lord. Bless all those who are able to stay. Bless our time, we pray. For any who cannot stay, give them traveling mercies. Keep Your hand upon us throughout this day. And return us again in Thy will this evening hour, we ask, for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. We're going to close our service this morning by singing together the hymn number 412. 412, I am Thine, O Lord, I have heard Thy voice, as it told Thy love to me, but I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. 412, we'll stand as we sing. After the singing of the first verse in the course, I'd be going to the door. If you can't stay for the Lord's table, we'll be there to greet you as you leave. But we would encourage as many as possible to wait behind, remember the Lord's death in His own appointed way. 412, standing as we sing.